Let's look at the perfect peace that God promises every believer. And perfect in the sense of mature, complete, fully developed. The peace that passes understanding, that'll guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's start with the promise of this in Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on you. So can you see the key to having perfect peace? It's having our mind stayed upon the Lord. And stayed is from the Hebrew word meaning to lean on for support, to rely on, to sustain, to brace. So God will keep us in perfect peace when we are fully leaning upon Him. And when we're leaning upon God, when we're relying upon Him, when God's presence and His promise is bracing us, this produces stability in our lives. Mental instability is considered anxiety. And there's too many anxiety disorders in the world today. And this is the one area a believer should experience victory and the power of the Holy Spirit, to have a mental stability, a sound mind, and not suffer from the same kind of anxiety that is tearing at the fabric of our society today. Anxiety is like a type of spiritual vertigo. The symptoms of vertigo are the sense that you or your surroundings are spinning out of control. And of course, you know what happens when you play that little game with kids and you spin them round and round and round? They lose their sense of balance because they are dizzy. It just makes them dizzy. And if they get too dizzy, they can actually become sick. No one abounds in the work of the Lord when they're experiencing this loss of balance, when the circumstances they're in just has them dizzy and they just feel sick. When people are in this condition, they tend to withdraw and isolate and just wait to feel better before they do anything. Believers should not be anxious for anything. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing should create anxiety in the life of a believer. Philippians 4:6. We know this verse. Most of us know it by heart. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Anxious in this verse is from the Greek merimnao. The word means to be drawn in opposite directions. Or in other words, to allow yourself to kind of become spiritually bipolar. Oh, there's a lot of bipolar people in the world today. You know what I'm talking about, bipolar. You're one way at one point, and this is the experience of too many believers. When times are good, or when the mood is right, when the certain time of the month is good, or everything is chemically balanced, God is good all the time, lift up hands, bless Him, praise the Lord. And then circumstances change a few days later, a week later, you're kind of quiet and sullen and withdrawn and hesitant, and maybe even depressed. That is a description of being spiritually bipolar. Or, in other words, being anxious, drawn in two different directions. Drawn to the goodness of God at one time, and distracted by the difficulty of the circumstances at other times. And we need to realize that spiritual instability, or anxiety, being drawn in opposite directions, is not caused by the external circumstances that we're in. The root of instability or spiritual anxiety is, it's a focus and faith issues. Now, we might want some examples of this. All right, let's look at the first example. You remember the time that the Lord instructed the disciples to get in the boat and let's go to the other side of the Lake of Galilee. And while they were in the middle of the lake, a storm came up and the conditions of the lake became pretty treacherous, and Jesus was asleep in the boat. And some of these men, at least, were fishermen. They knew the lake fairly well. This was not their first time to be in the middle of a storm. But they became so afraid, they awoke the Lord saying, "Lord, save us. We're perishing." And our Lord's first reaction is very worth noting. Look what he does first. Before he speaks to the wind and the waves, he says to the disciples, "Why are you fearful? Oh, you of little faith." And then he turns and rebukes the wind and the waves and commands them to become still. And suddenly the storm ends. The lake is calm, and the disciples are now in awe of the power of the Lord. But our Lord, before he spoke to the wind and the waves, asked his disciples, "Why are you fearful in this situation? Oh, you of little faith." First example. There's another example, similar. This one involves Peter. You remember in Matthew, I believe it's 14, Peter and the disciples are in the boat, and Jesus has sent them on ahead, but in the middle of the night, he sees the disciples kind of straining against the wind on the lake, and he comes to them walking on the water. And first they're afraid, thinking it's a ghost. Then they recognize it's the Lord. And Peter, "Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you on the water." And so Jesus said to him, "Come." Peter steps out of the boat and begins to walk towards Jesus. And then the scripture says, when he saw the ferocity of the wind, he became afraid and began to sink. Well, Jesus caught him, grabbed him by the hand, saved him, but said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So in both instances, Jesus says the same thing. In this instance of Peter, Peter was pulled in two different directions. He became anxious, bipolar in this situation, if you will. He was drawn towards Jesus, and then he was distracted by the ferocity of the wind. But interestingly enough, Jesus was not disturbed by the conditions in either situation. And as a matter of fact, we need to understand why. Because for our Lord to say, you know, "Why are you afraid? Oh, you of little faith," means our Lord knew that they did not have to fear because of the circumstances. And that there was faith. And faith would have made a difference in both of the circumstances. So why was our Lord not disturbed in either situation? Because his mind was stayed upon his Father. He lived out the perfect reliance upon the Father that produces perfect peace. And this was a regular peace that our Lord experienced. Our Lord could be at peace when he accepted dinner invitations and sat at tables in a banquet, knowing that there were men there looking to kill him. He was also at peace many times when he was surrounded by men, lawyers, scribes, leaders in the Jewish community, men who were trying to trap him in his words, pressing him with questions, trying to set him up to somehow ensnare himself. Jesus was at peace when he was standing before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, listening to many false witnesses present false testimony about him. The scripture says, when he was asked about these false testimonies, he remained silent, didn't answer a word. And when he was standing before Pilate, who was attempting to judge him and decide what fate would await him, Jesus was also silent, quiet, and even spoke to Pilate in a sense of peace. You'd have no power to judge me unless it were given to you. Pilate marveled at Jesus over this. And when our Lord was handed over to the soldiers who stripped him and put a purple robe on him and then wove a crown of thorns and placed it on his head and pressed it into his head and began to beat him and scourge him and mock him. Even then, in this horrendous suffering, our Lord was at perfect peace. Because in every situation, his focus was upon his Father. And his faith was that his Father could deliver him, sustain him, and help him. He never doubted his Father. It's doubt that causes instability. James chapter 1 verses 5 through 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. The word doubt here comes from the Greek word diakrino. It means to judge back and forth. What is James saying here? Just for some practical understanding of this verse. Many times we need an answer. We're not sure what to do in a situation. So we ask God, please give us wisdom or help us decide what we should do. Speak to us. Give us your answer. And then after we ask, we begin in our minds to go ahead and weigh the pros and cons. And we weigh this possibility against this possibility. And we go back and forth in our minds trying to see which is the better course of action to take. That's judging back and forth. When we ask God for wisdom, we are to wait till he gives us the wisdom without trying to judge back and forth, weighing the pros and cons and working it out on our own. James goes on, because the one who doubts, the one going back and forth, is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable. There's that instability. They're unstable in all they do. And they're double-minded because half of their mind or part of their mind is drawn to trust in the Lord. And the other side of their mind, the other part of their mind, is trying to work it out on their own. That's double-minded. The word for double-minded is actually comes from the Greek word disoukos. Di is two, and soukos is the word for soul. So double-minded literally means to have two souls. Does that describe a bipolar believer? Two souls, one attempting to trust God, and the other fearful and trying to work it out on your own? Yeah, that's a bipolar believer. A two-souled believer, a bipolar believer, is unstable in all his ways. And you think James meant by all his ways? Well, let's just look at a few. His joy, inconsistent. He goes from joy to discontentment to murmuring and complaining. He's back and forth. His peace is intermittent. He's at peace at times. He tastes peace. He experiences it somewhat. But then he's easily unsettled or becomes disturbed when the circumstances become, in his mind, overwhelming or too difficult. And his hope is is on again, off again. When his hope is on, he's upbeat, he's optimistic, he's rejoicing. When he's without hope, when his hope is waning or weak, he is pessimistic, negative, and tends to see the difficulty in situations, loses the ability to give thanks in everything. In other words, his spiritual life is temperamental.
Wow.
Temperamental means to be unpredictable in behavior or performance. That's not a good testimony. When a believer cannot be predictable, you have no weight. Your testimony has no weight before the people in your life. Actions speak louder than words. And you can say with your mouth that you trust Christ. You can say with your mouth that you believe God. But when those in your life see you wavering back and forth, and they see you give in to difficulty, they see you lose peace and joy, become hesitant and forlorn and discouraged and down in seasons of trial, they just see your faith as temperamental. They don't see it as valuable or dynamic. So the question I hope we have is, how do we become stable? Part of becoming stable is learning to receive the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. This is from James chapter 1, verse 21. See, the words of Jesus stabilize us and give us peace. Remember, Jesus said, my words are spirit. They are life. And as a matter of fact, all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching and correcting and reproof and for training in righteousness. So the words of Christ are spirit of life. And all scripture is God-breathed. And do you know what the word for read in the Greek actually is? It's anagnosko. Literally, it means to know again. And when we are reading God's inspired words, it's as if we are knowing them again. And when we are meditating on the words of Christ and receiving them, when we're reading God's inspired words, we're knowing them again. And as we know them again, and as they are implanted into us, they bring us stability. Here's an example. John 16, 33. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." If the disciples were going to experience the peace, they had to remember, they had to take to heart the things that Jesus has said to them. In this world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So let's look at more at what it means to have the words of God implanted, the implanted word which can save our soul. Well, when we think of implanted, we think of a seed, right? Well, the seed we know from the Lord Jesus, the seed is the word of God. And just like the seed has all the DNA, all the genetic information of that plant, all the potential life and all the potential fruit of that, whatever plant or tree that seed represents, it's within the seed, but it remains a seed until it germinates in the heart. So the spirit and the life of the word must germinate in our heart. That's where it must encounter faith. And are laying hold of the truth, and then it germinates within us. And as the word takes root and matures, it will begin to bear the fruit of peace. In fact, the fruit of the Spirit, love, and joy, and peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. The truth, as it becomes infused in our own thought, we receive it in our heart, it begins to renew both our heart and our mind. And this transformation begins to take place, a transformation that occurs throughout a growth process. And this growth process, it leads to maturity and a stability. So we can, by growing more mature, we can become more stable. That's what Paul was explaining in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, just verses 11 through 14. Let's look at these verses. And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. Perfect, remember, has the idea of complete, mature, fully functioning. Functioning according to the way God designed it to function. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, all are just ministry gifts that the Lord uses for His word and truth to be implanted in our lives, so that by growing in faith and growing in understanding, we come to a unity of the faith and to a complete, full understanding of Christ. And the result of this maturing process is this, what Paul says, then we're no longer children, tossed to and fro, living in that unstable, spiritually bipolar, anxious state, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So we must grow into stability, established in truth and led by the Spirit. And what this will do in us is it will develop in us a sound mind, literally a healthy way to think spiritually. And Paul calls this the mind of the Spirit, or the spiritual mind. And a spiritual mind, a sound mind, a mind that has been infused with the words of Spirit and life, a mind that has been meditating and changed by the truth of God's word, becomes a mind of life and peace. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. And of course, the having a mind on the things of the flesh would be thinking about your desires, thinking about things, thinking about conditions, listening to the news of the world, many external things, many physical things rather than spiritual. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And when Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And so the mind of the Spirit is a mind that has been receiving from the Holy Spirit all the virtues and grace and the divine nature of the Lord Jesus. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. A spiritual mind has a spiritual focus. And of course, that focus is God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. And the glory and spiritual life they are sharing with the believer. The spiritual mind is a mind infused with the spirit and life of the Word. A sound mind, a safe mind, is basically a mind that has been programmed to think according to the truth of the Word. And we are involved in that program by listening to and receiving and remembering and applying the Word of Truth. As the Word of Truth becomes a part of our own way of thinking, we develop a mind frame. It's like a mindset that is built through discipleship. You might could say this frame of mind has been developed. And this stable mind frame that is developed through learning the Word of Truth and having it become a part of the very way we think, this stable mind frame, the spiritual mind, is life and peace. And it is the cure for the anxious mind, the divided mind, the mind drawn in two different directions, that spiritually bipolar believer. Because this mind is braced and supported by the words of the Prince of Peace. Our Lord came to give us peace. He said these things. He spoke to his disciples that in him they might have peace. And when our mind is stayed upon our Lord Jesus and our thoughts are infused with the things that he has said to us, we can experience peace even in this world. Reinforced by his word, we learn to turn our concerns, the things that we're dealing with, because we're going to have things that we face, but we learn to turn our concerns into prayers and petitions. He is our focus. And so when these concerns encounter us, or when we encounter these concerns, we learn to turn to him in prayer and petition. And through this, we begin to overcome the temptation to be drawn in different directions. So we are to be anxious for nothing. Just what Philippians 4:6 says. But in everything, through prayer and petition, present our request to God. And what happens? The peace of God that passes understanding shall guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It's like having the Word of God as soldiers stationed on the inside and outside of ourselves. The Word of God can help filter what we actually allow our mind to think upon. And they can, by having the Word of God guarding our mind from the outside, we can reject thoughts before they slip past this guard and enter us to unsettle us or disturb us. But in the event that some thought or tactic of the enemy slips past the first set of guards and begins to unsettle us and disturb us from the inside, we have guards on the inside that can recognize what is beginning to happen and can be there to guard our inner man and take the thoughts captive before these thoughts get a hold of our mind and emotions and we end up speaking them and wounding someone else that we love, or creating a situation by unwise communication or hurtful communication that's only going to make the problem we're dealing with far worse. You'll see what this is a picture of. This is a picture of one of those radio towers. Do you know what those things that are attached up and down the towers? Most of you will know that they're called guide wires. And what's interesting, they're not guiding this tower anywhere, but what they are, each of these wires brace the tower from a different direction so that high as it is and encountering the different gusts of wind from various directions, it is supported from all directions. So this perfect peace that is ours in Christ is only going to come when we actively lean upon the Lord. In other words, we need to anchor ourselves in the Word. We need to be proactive in this. Diligent. Like Psalms 1, blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of sinners or walk in the way of the wicked or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That man will be like a tree planted by the streams of water, who yields his fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. And through meditating in the Word, you're anchoring. You're receiving that implanted Word, which is able to save your soul. The Word of God is becoming infused in your inner man, in your heart, and in your mind, developing a sound mind, a mind that focuses upon the Lord and trusts in His power and His promises. And it overcomes the temptation to be drawn in two different directions, creating this state of anxiety and instability that the Scripture warns about. We need to fix our focus by anchoring our soul in the Word of the Lord. And then when the high winds buffet us, we won't sway back and forth so much that we actually collapse under the distress. Perfect peace is for the believer who has learned to fully rely upon the Lord. His focus and faith develop a stability that endures the tribulations of this life. And it's not a life with fewer problems. It's greater stability through perfect peace.